Horse Bites fans, welcome to this next episode where we're going to talk about... Help! I can't catch my horse! Very, 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 very common subject of which I would like to open your eyes and ears to, if you will allow me the next 10-15 minutes to do so. As a natural horsemanship kind of expert, you know, that's kind of where my education was grown the most, let's say. I tend to attract, of course, problem horses, people with problem horses and stuff like that. Now, I am adamant when I say I don't believe there is such a thing as a problem horse. I believe there are only horses that have people and environment problems. So the moment someone says to me, oh, I got a problem horse, I'm like, no. What we've got is a human problem, because it's the human that's got to get the education, the information, and figure out what on earth that horse is trying to tell you in order to resolve the problem. We need to be solutionary. We need to try and find solutions. So when somebody says to me, oh, I can't catch my horse. Now, this is something that's, you know, very, very fixable. Let's start there. It's absolutely fixable, but it requires changes. It requires changes in the way you train, in the way you interact with them, and also just understanding why they're running away a little bit more. Horses that run away, for example, in a paddock or in a pasture, are saying something, without a doubt. Mostly the messages. I don't want to be with you today. Because sometimes those horses that are labelled as runaways, the ones that don't want to be near their humans, on a given day, maybe they've been left for 3 days because the human couldn't catch them, that horse makes an actual decision. Oh, I'll come today. You got any food for me? You see, and again, and then in that moment right there, the human's quite possibly thinking, oh, it's fixed, great. And then they've got the horse, they subject it to the training, which, by the way, the horse quite possibly doesn't like. And then they put them back to the pasture and they can't catch the horse the next day. So not being able to catch horses is not actually the problem, if you get what I'm trying to say. It's actually what you are doing while you are with them that is the problem. A lot of horses live out on, especially in the summer period, you know, they get set free to the summer fields and can run around and do their thing. And they live in herds and it's like paradise out there. And then their humans goes and gets them, drags them down from the field, subjects them to Lord knows what. Especially if the training is, you know, I don't know, passively abusive, even though the human doesn't think so, but they don't know any different. Or, you know, the horse is not really being listened to or has a pain memory response. Oh, my God, there's thousands of reasons why that horse might not want to be with that human. And then you set them free again into paradise. Why would the horse want to come with you? Now, I'm not saying don't set the horse free in paradise. Please don't. I just also hope you're thinking about diet control and stuff like that, especially if the horses are subjected to very green pastures. And thinking about things like nutrition and laminitis and stuff like that. But that's another subject. So we're going to move on with the catching part. So what we've got to do is we've got to look at what you're doing and what you're not doing when your horse is around. We've got to change it. Because the horse is giving a very strong message. I see horses that, you know, they allow their humans to catch them, but they don't necessarily want to come with them. The horse just doesn't have to... energy or the willpower or the thought to run away, but the moment they put that halter on, that horse sticks its hooves into the ground steadfast with super glue and says, I ain't going with you. It's the same thing. The horse is being uncatchable. They don't want to come with you. Or the horse lets itself be caught and then they bring it out of the paddock or said stable or said pasture. And then they drag them from A to B. That horse really is just not interested, not willing to come. They then take them to the arena or to the round pen to do some lunging and the horse stops. super fast in the doorway. Says, I don't want to go in there with you. And then they get shoo-shooed in or pushed in with a lunge whip behind them. So they're not being listened to. There's a million, million things, guys and girls. We just got to look, pay attention, figure out, be brave, make the changes necessary. Question ourselves. What am I doing wrong that is causing my horse to behave like that? It can get really confronting. And when you hear that saying, a horse, when you look in the mirror, when you look at a horse, you're going to get your mirror reflection back. This is one of those meanings of that. It might not necessarily mean that your horse is going to reflect back your emotions when you're standing right next to them or on their back. It can also mean that the mirror reflection you're getting back is an overall outlook of everything that you're doing and that it needs to be changed. That mirror reflection needs to be changed. Horses that can't be caught, well, you know, there's many temporary fixes you can use. There are things that I did in the past, I learned in my natural horsemanship career, that I kind of stopped doing because at the end of the day, I can create patterns where the horse wants to come to me by using body language and using the concept of drive and draw and how I move my feet, knowing that I become kind of a magnet, an attraction to the horse, allowing it me to get to the point where the horse kind of follows me and then I can put the hold from. But it's a temporary fix because what we've got to do is we've got to look at what's going on behind the doors. And even then, sometimes the human has got pretty good at that technique too, but still there's resistances in the horse, like I just spoke about. Now they've got the holder on, now the horse don't want to walk, now the horse don't want to go in the arena, now the horse don't want to go on the trail, stuff like that. There is any resistance in a horse has a meaning behind it, which is absolutely man-made, and we can absolutely therefore fix it. So I tend to not do that anymore, unless it's a super student of mine or somebody that's trained to be an instructor, because it's super nice for them to learn, to understand the concepts. And also, like I said, it's a temporary solution for horses that are uncatchable. You've got the good old bucket shaking the treats in the bottom of the bucket to attract the horse to come. Yeah, fantastic. What you've done there is you've just taught the horse to come because you're bribing them with food. Now, yes, I did just say that, because for a lot of people, especially if they practice in positive reinforcement, they would disagree. Well, I agreed to disagree to disagree to agree. Because if I have to bribe my horse to come to me, I'm not looking at the foundation behind the very reason why the horse is not coming in the first place. And no amount of positive reinforcement in my training is going to change that, because it's how the horse perceives me during the training that is a big cause of the horse not wanting to come. Whether you're doing positive reinforcement, non-negative reinforcement, whatever it is, at the end of the day, that is the very question. Let's also talk a little bit about why, you know, sometimes a human will go in an area to catch their horse. The horse will turn around and actually kick at their humans. I've seen this and I'm like, my gosh, that was close. I'm pretty sure if the horse wanted to make a contact kick, they would have. But they've spared that human a broken nose, quite possibly a fractured skull, quite possibly death. Because horses don't want to hurt people on purpose unless they're really, really put in a position where they feel they have no other choice to, or they have been pushed to the point where they have to. They really don't. So that scenario can be looked at in the sense of, what on earth are you doing in other areas where your horse is free, for example, in a round pen or a lunging corral? Are you chasing that horse around like an idiot, teaching them to kick a chew? Because they might not actually be kicking a chew while they're in there, but you've taught them to now do that in the paddock. Especially if they're surrounded by other horses, and by means of communication, horses kick out at each other. So that horse in that moment may well be not kind of interpreting you as a human, but interpreting you as a horse and using their own language to communicate to you. Chasing horses around mindlessly in small areas for me is one of my biggest pet hates, because it is something that creates unnecessary training habits. Remember, everything means something to horses. So if you're doing good training in one area and sugary rubbish training in another area, then it's still going to mean something to the horse. You cannot override things. You have to really be consequent in everything that you do in terms of creating good habits and skills. I know horses that, you know, when the humans first got them, they were really, really nice, came over to them in the paddock, knows their name when they're called and stuff like that. And after 6 months, once the horse has been subjected to pretty severe training, the horse is uncatchable. I know horses that were uncatchable from day one, and then within a couple of weeks, they start to run to their humans on the pasture because the human went out of their way to understand why the horse is not catchable, and has made the changes necessary in order for their horse to want to come to them. I also know horses that are subjected to suppressive training behaviours, training ways, and are, you know, not necessarily treated in a fantastically glorious way. But when they see their human, they run to them like they're the best thing since sliced bread. This fascinates me. And I'm like, okay, I might not necessarily do my training the way they do it, but their horse sure likes it. What's going on there? That's something I'm still willing to be open to learn about. Maybe it's because they're super clear and they're consistent. And even though their training might not be up to 100% spec, to be honest, whose is? Because I know mine sure isn't. For some reason, that horse likes it. It's clear, it makes sense, and they love being around their humans. I know horses that are set to free on that pasture in the summer, and their humans don't see them until the next autumn. That means very few health checks, no exercise, exposure to extreme weathers, hooves not being taken care of, no worming, or worming schedule anyway, where they can at least check the poo for worm eggs and worms. You know, complete, in my books, that is a massive kind of abuse, because you're not taking responsibility for the horse. You're not taking care of them. There's no excuse. There's no way to put gold glitter on that and make that look like it's nice, because it's not. So, help, I can't catch my horse. Well, I hope after listening to this podcast, you start to think about some things, because I'm telling you now, horses do not do things on purpose. There's one last thing I would like to talk about, and that is what I've learned to call learned behaviours. Can a horse learn a behaviour to actually run away from their humans? I believe they can. I believe a horse, as intelligent as they are also simple in comparison to the way we use our brains. And a lot of horses that present to me with human problems, human misunderstandings, and are looking for solutions, what I've figured out is quite often the horse quite possibly thinks that's what it's supposed to do. You know, they paw the ground when that food is coming. After a while, because they've pawed the ground and that food now comes, they actually think that if they paw the ground to get that food, they get the food, and they do. So it becomes a learned behaviour. The horse starts to think, oh, I must paw the ground in order to get food. So in moments when they're not due their food yet, or it's not part of their routine that they're going to get their food yet, they start to paw the ground. So what I did with my Lenny, because monkey see, monkey do, there's a lot of horses around us, of course, that paw the ground. None of my students, by the way. And sometimes Lenny sees that. And when he was around 6 years old, he started to copy. I was like, oh, now I don't really want this, but what can I do, you know? Unless I train all the horses at the barn. And trust me, there's some 180 of them. I don't really have the time to that, be honest. I'm not sure I want to. He started to monkey see, monkey do and copy. So what I did was I turned that around, because my horses live in a group environment on a huge area which has got sand, hard ground, hay, and an area where they can go inside, which they never go inside, by the way, unless it's to eat fresh straw that's been laid in there, but never really for the weather and stuff like that. And he lives in this group environment, and they've got water drinkers in there, but the water drinkers are really slow. They're slow to fill. And I know my boy, he loves a nice, big, cold bucket of water, especially after a trail ride. So what I do is when I bring him out the paddock, especially if I know I'm going to go on a trail ride or I'm going to be training for like at least 45 minutes upwards into the 2 hours. And that doesn't mean moving their feet that whole time. There's a million things you can do with training a horse without moving its feet. I'll offer them water. So what happened was one day he started to pour. So I don't tell my horses off for that. I try and find ways to resolve that without them getting me to move my feet. You know, because what usually happens there as well, they might not be getting the food, but what they are doing is getting control of their human's feet. So the human is running backwards and forwards to correct the horse. And the horse is just having a game out of it, really getting their human to move their feet. So what I like to do is figure out ways how to not move my feet and distract the horse into not pouring the ground. But what I did with my Letty was I actually gave him some water. So to this day, we have this little kind of, I wasn't really sure what I was doing at the time, but I was just going to figure it out and see what happens. We have this little secret communication between me and him, and that is when he's thirsty, he will just paw the ground twice with his hoof, and I'll bring him water. And there can be days and weeks where he doesn't do it all, and other times where he actually now knows that if he paws the ground twice with his foot, it's to tell me that he's thirsty, and he always drinks that water. And sometimes I have to refill the bucket. So, you see, learned behaviours, you can learn about them more and more and more. You can turn them around sometimes to your advantage to create communications and understandings between you and your horse. Or you can recognise that the horse is doing something because that is what they think they are supposed to do. I've known people to go out of their way, actually, a pat on the back to them, to start to trailer load, where they've either got their own trailer and they've set themselves a 2-week target to really just get on with that practice, or they've actually hired the trailer themselves. But what I see go wrong is that they spend the best part of the first week standing at the bottom of the ramp with strength in the lead rope trying to pull the horse into the trailer. And all they're doing, actually, because they're not getting a desired response out of the horse or a response towards what it is they're trying to achieve, the horse starts to think that that's what it's supposed to do. Oh, when I get to a trailer, I stand at the bottom of the ramp. Therefore, it becomes a learned behaviour. It's difficult, isn't it? I get that. And, you know, that's what education's for. That's what I'm here for. That's what my instructor team is there for. That's what all the people that I've learned from are for. That's what your instructors and teachers and trainers are for. And honestly, even with my own educators, teachers, coaches, quite often they become friends too. They don't always have the answers, and I'm very honest about it. And that's why I choose to train with these people. And I've also trained with people who said, you know what, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out why. And this is actually a promise I started to make to my students the very day I gave my first lesson. You know what? I don't quite know the answer to that, but we're going to try this, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to find out another way. And it might not necessarily be that day. It might be a week or two or a month later, but I'll find a way. If I don't find a way, which I think has only happened on 2 occasions, I'm very honest about it. And to be honest, those 2 particular occasions, I remember them so well. In the end, it was due to just my lack of not bothering to look for a resolution, because I wasn't really a match for the human, and I knew in my heart of hearts they were not going to make the necessary changes in order for it to work anyway, whatever that answer was going to be. So that's quite a sad situation. But anyhow, I hope this podcast helps and you get something out of it. And of course, I am thought-provoking in the sense of keeping it real. My podcasts are unedited, meaning that I really truly speak from my heart, and I hope you appreciate that. So thanks for listening, and a big hug from me to you.
You have been listening to Zoe's Horse Bites podcast. Powered by Get Good With Horses courses and Online Training Academy by Zoe Code.